You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 88. So, got enough of an episode this week. A couple bits of very good news, an app review, a TV show review for this week, and then the usual Star Wars profile, and we'll round it out from there. So I won't delay it too much. I will jump right into this week's theme, which is bundling. So bundling is a marketing strategy that joins products or services to sell them as a single unit. This usually offers a convenience for customers to help them buy multiple products or services from one company or from one place as a single product rather than individual items. They are not necessarily similar products or not necessarily different products, but they're products that may go well together, whether it's, let's say, a tool chest of multiple size screwdrivers, or let's say an assembly kit where different parts go together but are commonly used together, and they're sold all together, so you get all the benefit of everything without having to buy individual products. Sometimes these bundles are sold at a discount, so they're saying that instead of buying five individual, and I'll go back to the screwdriver example, but instead of buying five individual screwdrivers, you can buy them all together, and instead of paying, let's say, $1 for each one, you can pay $4 for all five if you buy them together. Sometimes they're sold at a slightly higher price for saying, hey, this is a bundle, so it's going to be to bundle it for you, we're going to charge a little bit more, but sometimes there's a bonus item or some other benefit to give that perception of a value for that product. So with that being said, I will jump into this week's news. So to start it off, Google Hangouts will no longer support SMS as of May 22nd, 2017. So if you are using it in SMS with Hangouts, you'll have to go back to another SMS client. Google Play got a new section for a free app of the week, so if you are interested in a free app recommendation, then you can definitely check that out. It's kind of reminiscent of the Amazon App Store free app of the day, but rather than something every day, you have it weekly. Facebook has added a camera shortcut app feature kind of thing to its app to now allow Facebook users to create stories and add filters to pictures more easily and that sort of thing. So it kind of adds the Instagram or Snapchat style stories feature to their app as well. Truecaller is releasing version 8 of their software, which is coming soon, to add True Messenger into their main app. So this is going to give you the ability to have support for caller ID on unknown text messages, support for predefined messages, and support for Google Duo coming in with that Google Duo's functionality built right into the app. Google Calendar has been released for the iPad, which now supports Spotlight search, set goals, and have various other features built in using Google's machine learning technology. And of course, it's built to support the larger screen of the iPad as well. Telltale Games announced that they will be releasing Guardians of the Galaxy, their version as a game of Guardians of the Galaxy, on April 18th. So if you're a fan of the movies or the comics, then look out for that. This week, Samsung had their Unpacked event to announce the Samsung Galaxy S8 and the S8 Plus. They're mostly the same devices with a few minor differences. So the Galaxy S8 runs Android 7, has a 5.8-inch screen, runs a Snapdragon 835 processor, has 64 gigabytes of storage, which is expandable to 256 gigs of RAM, has 256 gigabytes of storage. It has 4 gigabytes of RAM, a 12-megapixel rear camera, 8-megapixel front camera, a 3,000 mAh battery, has USB-C charging with fast charging support, and then it has the usual software upgrades and improvements and things like that, as well as their new assistant, or smart assistant Bixby, built into the OS. As far as the Galaxy S8, it's mostly the same device. The most notable differences are that it has a 6.2-inch screen and a 3,500 mAh battery, so a little bit bigger screen, a little bit bigger battery, so it kind of covers the, they have a smartphone device as well as a phablet device. It's hard to say if they're making up for the issues left from last year regarding the Note 7, but there are two models available, and it does, both devices I think feature the edge-to-edge display, so it has that screen that curves over the side. Both devices have a fingerprint sensor as well built into the home button, and they're calling it the invisible home button. So it's basically nearly impossible to see, I guess. I was just looking at images, so I'll see when I see it in person if how invisible it really is. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's app review. So this is an Android-only app, but it's a way to keep your home screen organized, but still have access to any widgets that you may want and have want easy access to. So the app is called Pop-Up Widget 3. So basically what it does is it allows you to create a shortcut to your widgets on your home screen. Or if you have a custom launcher like Nova Launcher, you can set a swipe action on your regular app's icon to access that widget as well. So what you'll do, or at least the route I took, is that I will go into Pop-Up Widget, the Pop-Up Widget app. I'll start a new widget and select the one widget I want to create a shortcut to. So for example, if I want a shortcut to, let's say that my calendar widget, then I will select the calendar widget that I want. So since I use Google Calendar, there's an agenda view or a month view. So I picked the month view. You can set a title for that shortcut if you want, which is optional. You can also select an icon, which is optional, and it'll pull the default app icon, or if you have a custom icon pack installed, then you can use that icon as well. So once you do that, you can set the animation that you want when the widget pops up. So you can have a pop-up animation from the center of the screen, from the left or right, or sliding animation, or a fade animation. There's a few already set. You can set things like custom margins as well, and the size of the widget. So if you want to encompass the whole screen or just part of it, then there's that as well. You can also select an opening animation, so whether it shows up from the icon, from the center of the screen, or how you want it to show up to begin with, there's that. And then if you want a reflective animation, so kind of like when you open it, you get a little slight reflection showing that it opened, you can have that as well. And then if you want to dim the back of the screen when that widget is open, that is also an option there. So now that you have a widget, in this case a calendar widget, you can either create a shortcut to that widget, so when you touch the icon on your home screen, it'll open up that widget, and when you click anywhere outside of that widget, it'll go away and it hides away until you touch it again. Or if you have, and I use Nova Launcher because that's the launcher I'm using right now, you can create a shortcut to the app. So for Google Calendar, for example, I have a custom icon pack set up. The icon automatically updates to the date of, or the current date of that day. So whatever the date is, it'll have that number. And then I long press on the icon, set the swipe action, and go to the pop-up widget shortcut and select the widget for Google Calendar. So now anytime I swipe up on that icon, it'll open up the widget. So not only do I get that widget hidden away and access to it, but I also get the current date at a glance. And that's just that one. And then if you have, let's say, a music widget for, let's say, Google Play Music, Pocket Cast, Pandora, whatever, and you want to have access to the play control or the media controls like pause, forward, rewind, and all of that, but you don't necessarily want it taking up space on your home screen, or if you have shortcuts to multiple apps and you don't want three separate widgets, then you can tie those widgets using pop-up widget to those app icons, or even just create that shortcut to the widget. So you have a nice, clean home screen, and you can still access those widgets at the touch of a button or at the touch of a swipe. So the app is available in the Google Play Store for $1.49. So it will cost a little bit of money, but it is worth it. It has a bunch of customizable options. And the other thing I forgot to mention is that you can also change the background color. So if you want it to be transparent, have a custom image, or if you want the background color to be just a random color like blue, but a faded blue or a solid black or transparent white, then you can change that color as well. So if you want the background of the widget to match your device's UI, then you can do that as well. Or even if you want a color based on the app or whatever, that's also an option. But It's very customizable, definitely worth checking out, and it's available in Google Play. That's Pop-Up Widget 3 for Android. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's entertainment segment. So to start it off with some news, the second trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming was released, so we get a little bit more of Spider-Man in action and his difficulties, his interactions with his aunt and Tony Stark and all of that, so definitely worth checking out. For those of you who are fans of This American Life or Serial or both, they released their podcast S-Town this week, so definitely check that out. It's a 7-part series into the life of a town that has its own set of troubles. So look for it. I use Pocket Cast, so doing a search for S-Town will bring it up. Similar thing, I'm guessing, for iTunes. I didn't check Google Play Music, but I'm sure it's available in most places, so that's S-Town. NBC announced this week that they'll be broadcasting the 2018 Winter Olympics without a time delay, so no matter where you're watching the Olympics from, you'll be able to watch them live. Wreck-It Ralph 2 got a release date of March 2018, so look out for that, and the subtitle is Ralph Breaks the Internet. And finally, the Game of Thrones Season 7 official promo video was released by HBO this week. It's called Long Walk. If you want to check it out, it is available on YouTube, or their HBO YouTube channel, so look out for that. I took a few of the notable screenshots. It's just the character profiles from the video. You can check it out on my Instagram profile at PatelN01 if you want to check that out. And yes, a bit of a shameless plug there. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch Star Wars Rebels Season 3, Episode 20. And 21 is the 2-part season finale of Season 3 called Zero Hour. So we have the fighting, or the battle between Thrawn and his troops and the Rebels. So we get to see a little bit more of that backstory and the trial there. I also had a chance to watch Black Sail Season 4, Episode 9, 37. So we have more of the fighting between, or we get more of the fighting between Flint and Silver and how they're coming together and falling apart, how they were betrayed by the British and all of that, so definitely worth checking out there. I also had a chance to watch The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 15, Something They Need. So we finally get Rick and the gang getting to Oceanside and their issues there. Also had a chance to watch Into the Badlands Season 2, Episode 2, Force of Eagle's Claw. So a little bit of the Widow's issues there as far as diplomacy and working with the other Barons and not working with the Barons. And then Sunny and Baji's travels towards the Badlands and why they will need each other. And then finally, I had a chance to watch The Expanse Season 2, Episode 10, Cascade. So it was more of the character profile for the lady who made it back, or the Martian survivor from the Ganymede Station battle. So her orienting to Earth and learning about that, and then also the political maneuvering going on around what she knows and what she doesn't know. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's TV show review. So I had a chance to watch Legion Season 1, Episode 1, Chapter 1. I know I'm a little bit behind on watching that, but I got a promotional credit from for Fandango Now, so I decided to give it a watch, see what it's all about. So the first episode released in the United States on February 8th, 2017, has a runtime of 70 minutes. A summary of the episode is that a troubled young man battling mental illness wonders if the visions he experiences are real following a strange encounter with a fellow patient. So overall, the episode was along the lines of what I heard about the episode. So I heard mixed things, that some people said it was good, some people said it was confusing, some didn't like it. So it was kind of all over the place, and I don't want to say that I didn't like it or I liked it, but it definitely was all over the place as far as what the episode was about. So we have David, who's in a mental institution because he's seeing people. He seems to be able to control the environment around him. So he's kind of like a mix between Magneto and Professor X, where I don't know that he can communicate with the people in his head, but he does have vision, so I don't know if this may be a latent power where he can find other people who are mutants. And then he has what I guess, based on the first episode, the ability to control not necessarily metal, but the objects around him. So that's why I guess I had a mix between Magneto and Professor X. So watching more episodes will probably resolve that for me. Otherwise, we have the girl that he's interested in, who's kind of like a little character Rogue, who has an inability to see or touch anyone without taking their powers. So we have her in the episode having those same abilities, but kind of wanting to get along with people, but not or being super strict about touching them. So I guess that's kind of a lot similar to the Rogue that we know. But we get a little bit of her, a taste of her power when David actually does touch her, and there's powers actually swap for a little while. So it's a pretty interesting bit of the episode there. And then we round out the episode with a lady who kind of gave me the feeling of a Morpheus type character, where it's come with me if you want to live. So she might be actually in the X-Men universe, at least she might be the lady who's more of a Professor X. So I'm going to watch the rest of the season and see exactly how it pans out. I think it's only like an 8-episode season, so I'll watch them over the coming days and weeks and see how it comes together, see how it, the characters develop and all that good stuff. I heard that, I think, if the later in the season, as everything starts to come together, that everything falls into place, so definitely worth checking out. So I will say that it is worth watching, but at least based on the first episode, it's going to be a lot of back and forth. It's going to seem a little bit unusual, but at least by the end of the first episode, it seems like it's coming together and there is a direction, so I kind of want to see where they go with that. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the Star Wars profile. So this is related to Star Wars Rebels season finale and the character of the Bendu. So the Bendu is a creature that lived on the planet Atollon, A-T-O-L-L-O-N. That's where the Rebels are, or one faction of the Rebels that we're following in the show. He has their base. It's a planet in the Outer Rim territories. So very random planet, very hard to get to, and that's probably why the Bendu is able to stay hidden so easily. But I guess they represented him on the male side, but I don't want to say male or female, but he represented the center of the Force as a creature that tried to live in the balance between the light side and the dark side of the Force. So we see when we have his interactions with Kanan, we see that he doesn't have a preference for Jedi or the Sith, so he doesn't, so that's why he doesn't want to help Kanan, but he also will fight against the Empire because he doesn't favor them either. He has the ability to control nature and sense Force wielders from a distance, so that's how he's able to. The Bendu is able to control the spider creatures on the planet, as well as sense Kanan, Ezra, Maul, and anyone who can wield the Force. His main reason for showing himself to Force wielders was to teach the Force-sensitive beings to overcome their fears and imbalances through personal trials. So what scares them the most, what is their biggest fear, and how to overcome them and become stronger, but neither succumb to the light or the dark side of the Force. He also understood that Jedi and Sith holocrons could be merged together, but with that power also comes with the understanding that they can bring clarity or chaos. So as we saw as a representation of the light and the dark with Ezra, he wanted to find Obi-Wan Kenobi to help the Rebels with bringing order and justice to the Republic, whereas Maul just wanted to go and kill Kenobi. So the tool is dependent on the person who uses it. So that's all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, want to reach out to me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google Play, Pocket Cast, or wherever else you can get podcasts. And of course, subscription links and all the social media links and all of that good stuff can be found on the website. at patelan01.com. And of course, video reviews can be found on YouTube at Patel or youtube.com/patelan01. And of course, if you like this show or any show on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.